The first thing we attended at St. Luke's was a contemporary worship service where Pastor Eric was preaching.
We chose St. Luke's to be our church because they were an open community and truly open. I'm involved primarily in the youth ministries. I used to be an usher, and then I found my niche with the youth ministries.
I've also served at several VBSs over the past 3 years, and I am at the Connection Center. We feel comfortable and enjoy financially giving to St. Luke's because of the great things that we see St. Luke's doing.
When we decided to start giving 10%, it was when we made a lot less money. We had a lot less expenses. We didn't have kids. We were able to decide to make this commitment, and we haven't turned back. We haven't looked back. We've been able to stick with that commitment. A few years ago, I went through a job transition. I went from teaching to something else. And we did consider decreasing our tithe as a way that we could kind of recoup those funds that we lost or recoup some of that money.
And so all those times that we've questioned and all of those times that we have thought about, like, oh, well, we could do other things with this money, we always just get a reminder that God's great and we just need to do what we can for the kingdom.
For people who are considering giving, we have found that when we give our first and best, that we know that the work that we put in is going into God's kingdom. And that feels really good.
So I'm pleased to introduce for our scripture reader this morning one of our veterans, Bill Myers, who served in the Marines and also does a lot of work with other volunteers for our military ministry here at the church. And they have a great display set up in the art gallery of memorabilia from the service of members of our church. So I hope if you haven't been up there yet after worship today, you'll stop by and see the display in our art gallery. Bill, thank you.
Today's scripture reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 10 to 15. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us, for the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. Through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confessions of the gospel of Christ and by the generosity of your sharing with them and with all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God that he has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift.
Would you join me in a word of prayer? Gracious God, bless our understanding of the word that has been shared, that we would reflect yet one further time upon these important words of Paul and understand that these ancient words have such current relevance so that we can be faithful servants of yours in our day and in our time. In Christ's name, amen. Well, a quick word about next Sunday. It's our Thanksgiving celebration service, and we'll have the altar beautifully decorated like it usually is. And we also remind you that's the time we bring our canned, non-perishable food items for the Crooked Creek Food Pantry. And during our opening hymn, as we sing that opening hymn, we'll bring our items up here and place them around the altar for next week. So I hope you'll remember that. But this Sunday, today is our last in our stewardship series, which I know brings from you a collective, I know, it's always sad every year when we come to the end of our stewardship series. But I hope you have found this year's series very meaningful as we have looked at the longest section in the Bible that talks about giving. Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, as Paul is writing to make an emphatic appeal for the Corinthians to resume a collection for the poor in Jerusalem. which they have stopped doing. Let me just remind us of some of the things that we've learned about generosity in this series, or things that we've affirmed, which Paul teaches. First of all, generosity involves everything we have. It all belongs to God. God is the source of our blessings. Generosity is contagious. Others are inspired by the generosity of people. When we live generously, life is generous to us. Generosity should come from a desire, not from guilt. And God doesn't expect us to do more than we can. And then lastly, generosity gets to the heart of spiritual maturity. And we've emphasized this point a number of times, that Paul's main concern in his ministry was helping people to grow spiritually, to be spiritually mature, which for Paul meant become like Christ, which means to become people of grace. Becoming more gracious is an example, as Paul makes it, of spiritual maturity in our lives. That's why we called the series For Mature Audiences Only. Some of you wondered just what this was going to be about. Well, when we talk about being gracious people, we are talking about the heart of spiritual maturity. Now, at the end of the sermon today, we're going to have a chance to take pledge cards for those who are ready and fill them out and bring them forward. And if you're new to St. Luke's, this may be like an unfamiliar practice to you. You might not have ever done this before. We fill out a pledge of our intention of giving for the year ahead to support the church. And there are a couple of practical reasons why we do this. One, it greatly helps our finance committee. It helps them when they finalize our church budget to know that they are approving something that looks like, by the numbers that come in, it's within reason. Another reason is much more personal. It helps us be intentional about our giving to the church. But the real reason we pledge is much, much more spiritual and much more meaningful. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. In fact, I want to do something in the sermon today I've never really done before. I want to tell you why I pledge. Getting ready for this Sunday, thinking about Paul's words in the scripture we just heard, I thought about, why do I do this? Now, I know some of you would say, well, you have to, Rob. You're the pastor of the church. You can't ask the congregation to do something you don't do. I'll admit that's part of it. But if I was not the pastor of any church, I would do it for the reasons I'm going to share with you. Now, do not take this in any way to mean some kind of hidden message that because they're my reasons, they ought to be yours. I do not mean that at all. If anything, I hope it might help you reflect on why do you do this really? Really, why do you do it? You might even want to take notes of some of the points I make in the scriptures of Paul to think about your own motivations and why it is that you do this. I could have titled the sermon today a number of things. Generous on every occasion, that comes from the scripture lesson, as have all of the messages in this series. I will get to that verse and think about it toward the end, but I could have also called the sermon today, Why I Pledge. But I could have also called it, Known But to God. That's an expression that came from my experience in Normandy last month. When Susan and I traveled with Carver and Mary Ann McGriff and the tour they led back to Normandy. At the end of every tour Carver leads there, he takes people to the American Cemetery at Omaha Beach. That's a picture I took that day, just a glorious day. And it was as beautiful and sacred as I expected it to be. I have always wanted to go to the American Cemetery. Some 10,000 soldiers are buried there, people who fought in the invasion of Normandy. And on all of those tombstone markers, many of them crosses, you'll have the name of the soldier, the day they died, and what state they were from. But many of them are of soldiers for whom they did not have any identification. So the tombs say, a comrade in arms, known but to God. It's hard to make out on that picture, but that's one of the tombs, known but to God. That's an appropriate phrase and reminder on a Sunday in which we honor veterans. but it's also an appropriate phrase that weaves together some of the things that Paul said in these closing verses about giving in 2 Corinthians 9, and it weaves together very well what I want to share about why I pledge. So let me begin with the first one. One of the reasons I pledge is it's an expression of my trust in God. It's an expression of my trust in God. I don't know about you, it's not always easy for me to trust in God. When times are hard, when resources are thin, I can get iffy about my trust that God is going to continue to take care of me. And yet, look what Paul says to the Corinthians. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Paul is saying, Corinthians, when you give, remember, you're giving to a God who will continue to take care of you. You just might not see it yet. Many times the blessings God provides for us are blessings we have yet to discover, and we have to trust. Now, I've experienced that truth in my life, and my pledging reminds me of that. When I went to my first churches out of seminary, two churches served by one pastor, they were located in the rural part of the mountains of North Carolina. In fact, the parsonage I lived in had trees all around it with leaves on the trees. You couldn't see another house. It wasn't in a neighborhood. I was single, and it was terribly lonely. And I remember thinking after a couple of months, if this is what ministry's like, I cannot do this for my whole career. I just can't do this. It's too lonely. This is too hard. And one day, I got a brochure advertising a trip in the mail. It came from Dr. Joe Hale, who was General Secretary of the World Methodist Council, located not far away at Lake Junaluska. I thought, it looks like a great trip. I skipped to the back page to see how much it cost, and it cost about 3 months of my salary at the time. And I remember putting that thing in the trash and going, I will never be able to go on a trip like that my entire life. A week later, I got a call from Dr. Hale. He said, Rob, this is Joe Hale. I'm wondering if you got that brochure I mailed you. And I said, yes, Dr. Hale. And I was about to say, but I can't afford to go on that trip. He interrupted me. He said, well, good, because I have a friend, a United Methodist in Texas, who's going to give a scholarship for a pastor to go on this trip. It'll take care of all the expenses. I was wondering if you would take that scholarship. And I said, and Dr. Hale, I've been meaning to get back with you about my interest in this trip. So I got to go on this trip. And on this trip, I met a young woman who was traveling with her parents. Her dad was a bishop named Susan Wilkie. We don't look that different after 30 years, do we? A year after that picture was taken, she became Susan Fuquay. And today, we have three beautiful grown daughters, all because of a gift from a man named Jimmy Davis I did not even know at the time. And not only that, Susan and I would come to learn that he was a key supporter of a ministry in Dallas that was run by her sister, Sarah. Who but God can orchestrate things like that? You don't always see the blessings that are around the corner, but when I pledge, it's a trust that God has good things in my life that are known but to God. Another reason I pledge is because I believe that God does more with my gifts than I realize. God does more with my gifts than I ever realize. Look again at one of the verses Paul writes in our scripture today. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings. Now, what did Paul mean by the last part of that statement? He reminds the Corinthians, what you're giving is helping the saints in Jerusalem, the poor. And, he says, it overflows with many thanksgivings. What's he talking about? You know, one of the reasons Paul was so emphatic that the Corinthians resume this offering is something we've not talked about yet. It was important to Paul because he believed it would go a long way in helping mend the growing divide between Jewish and Gentile Christians. We've not talked about this. But when you read Acts chapter 15 and how the apostles in Jerusalem made this decision that Paul could open up the way of churches to bring in Gentiles, that the churches would be open to everybody, that it was somehow a done deal that day, that the church just welcomed happily everybody into their fellowship, and that couldn't be further from the truth. Paul dealt his whole ministry with this rift between Jewish Christians having a hard time accepting Gentile Christians, and there was this tension in the church. And Paul believed that if the poor Jewish members of the church in Jerusalem could receive gifts and aid from Gentiles they did not even know, it would go a long way in mending the divide. In other words, God would do more with their gifts than they ever realized. God usually does. When we give to God, God usually does more with our gifts than we know. Let me give you an example. Last year, I got a letter from a seminary student. It was the first recipient of the scholarship Garrett Seminary established in my name. Some of you might remember back in 2017, my 30th year in ministry, they set up this scholarship, and many of you have given generously to this scholarship. Last year, I got a letter from the first recipient of it, a student from Korea who's attending Garrett. He wrote me to thank me for the scholarship and help me understand that without the aid of scholarships like this, there's no way he'd be able to move to Chicago and go to school. But then he told me more. He told me about his personal life. He said, while I've been at Garrett, I've met the love of my life, this beautiful woman. We've fallen in love and we got married. And then he said, and in a few months, we're going to have a baby. He said, my wife is going to have a baby because of you. I sure hope he tweaks that if he ever repeats it to other people, but I got his point. I got his point. Do you get his point? You need to, because many of you give into that scholarship. That God does more with our gifts than we realize. I thought I would give to a scholarship that might help some students buy some books and afford their tuition. And lo and behold, there's a new life in the world because of gifts we've given. Oh, God. God always does things with what we give that is known but to God. But here's the last reason, and it's the most important reason I pledge. It's because pledging gives me a ritual that helps me mark the person I really want to be. It helps me mark the person I really want to be. There's no other place in my life that gives me a ritual for where my money goes. The bank never calls me and says, Rob, it's that time of year again to celebrate that you get to give us money so that you can have a mortgage and a home to live in. They never call. They just keep drafting every month. None of the schools or the charities I support call and say, it's time for our ritual. But the church gives me a ritual that is about something more than what I give. It reminds me of who I want to be. Listen again to Paul's words. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And when I bring a pledge card forward, I remember, you know what? That is who I really want to be. deep down, that's who I want to be. I want to be somebody who's generous on every occasion. I do not want to be consumed with consuming. And if I'm not careful, that's what the world will do to me. Think about the way our economy operates. Our entire economy in the United States is based on the need to have more. We've got to produce more all the time. We've got to create more so that you and I will buy more. And the substrata message to that economy is, you need not be too satisfied with what you have. You need more. And if we're not careful, we'll start to think that who we are depends on what we have. In the 1970s, the average brand new home was 1,650 square feet. Today, the average new home is over 2,500 square feet. And what do you do with a bigger home? You got to go buy more stuff to go in that home, don't you? And if you've ever done one of these home loan calculators to see how much can you afford, you know, they ask all kinds of questions. Everything about your income, but where does your money go? You know, what are all the places you spend money on? Few of them ask the question, how much do you give? Few of them ask, how generous are you? Why? Because the world bets on the fact that you and I will be a lot more consumed with the question, what can I get, than what can I give? And when I pledge, it's one time a year that I remember, I really want to be about generosity in my life. Do you recognize these jackets? You see that? You remember what those were called? Members only jackets. They were popular back in the 80s when I was in college. If you wanted to be cool, you had to have a members only jacket. And I look back at pictures of me in college wearing a members only jacket, and I wonder, who on earth ever said that was cool? And I thought, why did I wear a members only jacket? Yeah, here's one reason, and I really do believe it's true, is I thought it would make me look more like Michael Jackson. You know, He used to wear those kind of jackets, you know, with no collar. He'd pull the sleeves up, and I mean, I used to practice if I could just dance like Michael Jackson, you know. And Michael Jackson was the epitome of cool. And yet, look what happened to Michael Jackson. We had no idea. When everybody wanted to be like Michael Jackson, what was going on the inside of him? When my girls were little, Britney Spears was the thing. Oh man, it was Britney Spears this and that. Every little girl wanted to cut her hair like Britney Spears and dress like Britney Spears. We had no idea, did we, that when that was going on, Britney Spears had a dad who loved her money more than her. That inside of her, she's carrying this hurt as a little girl, just wishing her daddy loved her. We forget it doesn't matter what's on the outside. It can't change what's on the inside. And deep inside, all of us just want to be loved. We just want to know somebody believes in us. Somebody cares about us, not because of what we earn, not because of what we do, but because we're worth loving. We all want to know that. And that is what God wants to give us. God wants us to have a value in our lives that is known but to God. How significant we are. I've heard someone say that if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If God carried a wallet, your picture would be in it. If God used a cell phone, God would bore the angels in heaven every day, bragging about what's the latest thing you've been doing. Look, see, here's a picture. Just to remind us, God loves us more than we can imagine. And all God wants to do is let that same love flow through our lives. When I pledge, I'm participating in the way that God created the universe to be, where God creates through what we give. You take a seed and you give it away. You plant it in the earth so that it can become a new plant and produce new fruit. The acorn has to die, fall into the earth in order to become a tree. God so loved the world that God gave his only son so that all who would believe in him may have what? Life. Life. That's why I give. So why do you give?